You're listening to NPR. The Board of Directors. This is a group of people who are elected to represent shareholders at a company. And I always kind of thought this would be a great job, you know, being a board member, Cardiff.
Like,
yeah, you show up a few times a year, you sit at a big shiny table, you eat their fancy takeout, you nod, you make a bunch of big deal decisions, and then you fly home and get paid a lot of money.
A lot of negligent board members actually do exactly that. But no, it's true, because you always hear about the CEO or the CFO of a company. But very often, the board really is where the power's at. I mean, think about it. The board hires the CEO and can fire the CEO. And the board also makes decisions about mergers, where to spend money, where to cut back, whether to sell stock, and layoffs, new products. A lot of that sometimes starts with the board.
And corporate boards have been coming up a lot lately. And weirdly, they've been coming up on the presidential campaign trail. Senator Elizabeth Warren introduced a bill called the Accountable Capitalism Act, and one of the key features was this idea that companies of a certain size should be required to have a certain percentage of workers on the company board.
Second, workers would have a seat at the table when big decisions are made. My bill would make it so that at big corporations, workers would get to elect at least 40% of board members.
And then, earlier this summer, Senator Bernie Sanders crashed a Walmart shareholders meeting and demanded more worker representation on the company board. This idea of workers being on corporate boards alongside the owners is called co-determination, and it's been done in Europe for decades. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, co-determination. What is it? How does it work? Does it work?
And what would it mean for the U.S.?
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Microsoft. Studying snow leopards helps us understand their ecosystem. Microsoft AI quickly analyzes thousands of remote camera images so researchers can understand these animals and their environment. Microsoft.com/AI.
Support also comes from KPMG. Revolutionize your enterprise with AI. KPMG can help you harness the power of AI to unlock its potential and deliver growth. More at read.kpmg.us/NPR.
Codetermination is this idea that the board of a company will be made up of a mix of owners and workers, and they will co-determine the fate of the company. In the U.S., the board of directors usually represents shareholders, so they are looking to maximize profits to make money for shareholders. In a co-determination situation, those interests and votes are joined with those of workers, and the workers are on the board voting for workers' concerns.
Now, co-determination already is the law in Germany and in the countries of Scandinavia. And a lot of economists and academics have looked at the effects of co-determination on companies in those countries. One of those academics is Ewan McGaughey. He's a legal scholar at King's College London.
Ewan cites a bunch of recent studies that have found that workers are more productive at companies that have a large percentage of workers on the board of directors. And he says the reason for this can be explained by this economic idea known as the participation hypothesis.
And that's basically the idea that if you have the right to participate in the way that decisions are made about your life, you're likely to want to contribute more to your workplace.
And Ewan says there are a bunch of other benefits that come with workers helping make board-level decisions, things like higher wages and better benefits.
The empirical evidence is now tending to show that co-determination rights are good for employment levels, reducing the inequality levels across the board in society.
And this makes sense, right? You put a bunch of workers on the board of a company and worker pay goes up, and the gap between executive pay and worker pay goes down.
But not everyone thinks co-determination would be a good idea for the U.S. Samuel Hammond is the director of the Poverty and Welfare Policy Program at the Niskanen Center.
You think that co-determination would not be the best idea for the U.S.?
No, absolutely not.
He thinks there is a much larger issue with co-determination.
Yeah, if you could boil down why co-determination is not a good idea to any one word, it would be dynamism. And, you know, dynamism, it could be like a buzzword that you put in your LinkedIn profile, but like to economists, it has a specific meaning, which is like the ability for the market to change, for new firms to come in and replace the incumbent firms. And what we see with co-determination in Europe is it's stifling that process.
And for an example of how codetermination can stifle dynamism, Samuel says, look at one of the key moments in the history of Apple.
Steve Jobs returning to Apple in the 90s. Apple was, at the time, looked like it could fail. It was bloated. Steve Jobs consolidated support on the board of directors and proceeded to lay off 3,000 employees, shutter a bunch of product lines that were dead ends, and narrow the focus of the company on to what would become the iPod and then the iPhone. That is much harder to do when you're constantly engaged in stakeholder management and when you have to negotiate with the people you're about to fire. And so there's a bit of ruthlessness to this.
Samuel says this all sounds pretty brutal, and it is. In fact, he points out that this moment, this kind of brutal moment, has been much dramatized in the movies.
And that, of course, is going to send us to the internet.
We were
to
not
watch
not going to go to the internet.
Amazing Ashton Kutcher performance of Steve Jobs in Jobs, the movie.
Where's the man's Oscar?
It's a very specific definition of amazing, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Where he is basically embodying dynamism and what made Apple successful, and also simultaneously being a horrible person.
Yeah, the worst.
It's conceptual, and I'm sorry, but typeface, it isn't exactly a pressing issue right now. If you don't share our enthusiasm and care for the vision of this company.
No. I'm not understanding.
Get out.
What?
Get your shit and get out. You're done.
What are you going to, you're going to fire me?
No. I already fired you. Why are you still here?
Wow.
I guess it's dynamic, if nothing else. But, you know, also Samuel says dynamism is a lot of what makes the American economy great. Not that it's very pretty. But, you know, after all, because of that moment, you know, maybe not the actual firing of the poor font guy, but because of that moment in general when Steve Jobs kind of took the helm of Apple in that really extreme way, Apple grew into one of the biggest companies in the world. It is a massive economic force. It employs more than 130,000 people.
Samuel says that companies being nimble and innovating and being able to change direction, that's a lot of why the U.S. economy is so vibrant and so wealthy. It's also the U.S. economy's competitive advantage and makes it a dominant force in the global economy. So if that vital energy is put in jeopardy, it could really be harmful. Samuel points to the economies of Germany and those countries in Scandinavia for a comparison. He says that for the most part, the biggest companies in those countries are not very innovative, and they're really old.
So their economy, their largest firms, are made up of kind of laggard legacy companies like Volkswagen.
In the U.S., says Samuel, a lot of the biggest companies are actually quite young, and they are major innovators. Apple, Google, Amazon.
But Ewan Magahi at King's College disagrees. He says there's no evidence that links innovation and dynamism with workers having little power in a company. In fact, he says having workers on the board increases innovation and dynamism because those boards will benefit from the insight of the people that are actually making the stuff that those companies make.
Perhaps I can just give you a quote from a Republican New York senator in the 1970s called Jacob Javits. So he was actually a supporter of codetermination back then. And he said that it sounded like a good idea, quote, because would improve workers' understanding of management and, quote again, as well as exposing management to workers' ideas. You know, so this is always got to be something that's going to help innovation, that's going to help dynamism.
And even if it does make companies a little less profitable, says Ewan, that's not necessarily the worst thing.
Let's say that shareholder dividends go down a little bit, like let's say by 5%, but then worker wages go up by 10% or 20%. You know, so then you've got an overall social gain. And that's why we see countries with co-determination, generally in Northern Europe, are generally richer, they're more prosperous, and they're more equal.
Also, says Ewan, workers on boards can address big labor issues on a very high level so that strikes are less necessary and less common. All that tension plays out in the boardroom. And all of this back and forth got us thinking. What is it actually like at the board meetings of a company that has co-determination when there's nearly an even split between workers and owners?
Tomorrow, we find out. We talk to a worker at Siemens, the German manufacturer, who has spent a decade on the company's board.
So, would you recommend co-determination for the U.S.?
So I think we are on two different planets.
This episode was produced by Darius Rafieyan, edited by Patty Hirsch, and fact-checked by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR.